Unless one has an affinity for looking ridiculously foolish, it is wise not to stumble aimlessly into a fantasy football draft. The Ultimate Draft Kit from the Fantasy Footballers contains all the information you need to avoid the jeers of your enemies and to snuff out any glint of hope in their souls. Imagine the gasps those trouser-wearing turnips will emit as you make yet another triumphant draft selection. Imagine their tears forming a formidable puddle as you assemble an unstoppable force. The Ultimate Draft Kit comes bursting at the seams with fantasy goodness. When you enter the draft room, you'll feel as if you were a monstrous beast let loose in a chicken coop. Head over to ultimatedraftkit.com today.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in.
Is it football time? Did someone tell me? It is.
It is football time.
Sorry, guys. I was digging up a fun quote from an article you'll hear about in a little bit.
We'll hear about it on this show?
Yes.
That's kind of a weird tease. You're just looking up articles?
I needed to make sure.
We'll wait.
Yeah, I understand that.
There's a player that clearly we're going to talk about.
Yes, there's an important bit of news that has caught Mike's attention.
It has.
And we'll talk about it shortly. So welcome in, one and all. Excited to have you with us. We have news to talk about.
Yes.
We got some mailbag, some best ball breakdown, lots of fantasy goodness on today's show. Ultimate Draft Kit available right now. You're heading into the weekend. You've probably got a draft. You're thinking to yourself, self, I'd like to do well at this draft. I don't know how I'm going to do that for sure. And then you're like, maybe the Ultimate Draft Kit could help me.
Maybe.
It can.
I was going to get there, Jay, but you went right into, yes, it can.
Just look, the people know.
Yeah, it's great.
UltimateDraftKit.com for your drafts and Megalobowl.com if you want to be a part of the largest fantasy football season-long tournament-style league, which is up over 10,000 so far. Last year, it was 20.
It's over 9,000.
I'm going to say 22,000 because it was like 21,900 and a few.
Okay.
So we're gonna set the bar at 22,000. It's up over 10 right now. And you go in, you go to megalobowl.com, you pick a draft spot, and then you're good. And you're going to draft, and then you're going to try to win the league.
Also, be aware when you pick a draft slot, you can scroll down. There are more dates. It doesn't look like there are more, but just scroll.
Okay. And quick question. This one comes in from Chefster Maker. First time having a second flex spot on a roster. Any difference in draft strategy? We made this change in conjunction with dropping kickers, I believe, in our league of records.
Yes, mm-hmm. We did.
And so we do. We have two running back, two wide receiver, two flex in our league of record. So we are in the same type of format that you are moving to. What do we think about the strategy there? I mean, are you approaching things differently in that format? We already know that if you're in like a three wide receiver league, the kinds of changes that makes to your thought process. Jason, what do you think about the extra flex position?
I love the extra flex position. It adds, more depth to the starting roster, obviously more strategy for the later round picks. And it's a great question to say, well, what do I do when I go deeper? And what I've found really is, depending on whether you're in a standard league, a half PPR, or a full PPR, that second flex position, it changes positions.
Yes.
You know, if you're in a full PPR, I'm usually going to be starting that second flex. It's going to be a wide receiver.
I'd say more than usually. I'd say the majority of the time, if it's a full PPR, it will be a wide receiver in there. Even in a half point, the majority of the time, it's probably still going to be a wide receiver. It's because once you're down to a certain tier, certain rank of wide receiver or running back, those receptions, they do matter a lot. And most likely it's going to be a wide receiver. So that is my blanket statement for you. Who's a Chefster maker off Instagram. It's you're going to want to be heavier on wide receivers.
I would say it affects the way I look at depth because you have an entire additional starting opportunity here. And sometimes the mindset in a traditional league format is to go into your draft and kind of fire a few darts at the end and try to find that explosive flex player. In this format, you are going to have to start an additional player. So maybe you're not, I'm not saying you aren't shooting for those players, but you also have to have guys that you know you can start. You can't overload your roster with players that are going to take a few weeks to materialize either.
Sure. And the flex with benefits guys that I talked about when I gave the tip in our top 10 show, those are players that I might be a little bit more aggressive going after, and specifically not having the true starter, because I want the team to have a situation that should something break in my favor fantasy football wise, you now have an extra starter. You had a person who can contribute, but you're one play away from this player becoming a difference maker for your team.
Any complaints about an extra flex spot in our league of record?
No.
Yes.
No. What?
I have a complaint that we don't have an extra flex spot. Yeah,
you
want a third flex.
You
want
to go triple flex?
Yeah, I want to go
Jason,
triple flex.
That's grown-ups only.
Yeah, I'm a grown-up. I want to flex on these fools.
Look, the more you add.
I'm adding that to the vote this year in our league.
It's not going to pass.
I know it won't pass, but I'm voting.
And you just came up with that just now?
That's right.
Good. Good.
That's on the spot. That's how I make my decisions.
It removes – some people complain about the fact that there's too much luck in fantasy football. If you add more positions to start, you are going to reduce that because it's going to take – you're going to have to play deeper players. If Jason gets his will, we're going to be playing down to the fourth, fifth string.
Yeah.
36 flex spots.
Sounds good to me.
It's weird. I've never heard this from you. You're turning over a new leaf.
I really do enjoy deeper starting rosters. I find like in our listener league, which is starting soon, and I don't know if we've mentioned this on the main show, but genuinely, every year it gets crazier and crazier. We had more submissions this year for our listener league than ever before. Thank you all for submitting, and all the people that did so much amazing things and sent things in, and that, you know, only
we got stuff here at the studio that'll make its way to the Foot Clan.
The Foot Clan wall corner. Got like a stained glass of the shield. I mean, just some really cool stuff.
So thank you all. We really do appreciate it. I know most all of you didn't get in because that's the nature of mathematics. Only a few and a lot of entries. But in that league that we play in, it's a 14-teamer so that we can get more people in the league. And it's still a double flex. So you're starting just deeper players. And I find that's more fun. It's more fun to have to go with a nasty boy that makes your lineup.
Yeah, it is pretty fun to be in a 14-team league. I would say that the listener league has been fun. Mm-hmm. And we have mailed everybody that's in.
We have, as of this moment.
That's the part you left out.
We have, as of this moment, there's still one spot that needs to respond.
Oh, well, we're still waiting on one response.
Yeah, so maybe an alternate will get in.
Just for the record, that's maybe the worst thing that's ever happened, is you have all these people competing and then somebody wins. And then they don't respond to their email.
Mm-hmm. It's never happened before.
Stay on top of your emails, people.
9 years. Never
happened.
Yeah,
it has. We've had to replace before.
I can't remember.
Yeah, we've had to replace before. But I'm just saying, it's not what you want, because you don't want to get a heartfelt, like, all this time and effort put into something. And then.
Yeah.
But yes, thank you. Yes. Mike and I echo that. Very amazing humans out there. So let's get into the news.
News and notes from around the league, presented by USAA Insurance.
Is this the piece of news that you were looking forward to?
Yeah. Well,
I'm not breaking this. This is all yours.
Okay. So we'll start here. We are in the news section. We're recording this show Wednesday afternoon. So if something else had happened before Thursday morning, we'll cover it later. But the big piece of news that came out was the San Francisco quarterback depth chart has been announced.
Oh, great.
Which I don't remember it really being a thing. It's usually, here's our starter. Everyone else is on the team. And you kind of know who is where. But they made an official announcement that Samuel Darnold will be the quarterback to Trey Lance. That puts him at number three if you're keeping track. Trey Lance was in the building on Wednesday.
Three out of how many, though?
I believe three.
Oh, okay.
So, but you could say third best. He's the third
right.
best.
Yeah, he is not bad.
I believe he's the third best quarterback on the team.
Oh, he was the third pick in the draft, so you should be the third best.
Yes. He was in the building when the news broke. He was then allowed to sit out the session, and the 49ers will address the situation after practice.
Is he getting cut?
No. They
traded?
Would a trade would be possible.
Who trades? Genuine question.
Right.
Who trades for a third-string quarterback? Like,
well, honest, I think
somebody would do it, but it would not be a high
pick. Seventh rounder.
It comes down to what the NFL what the 49ers are willing to cut their losses with. Because I bet there's at least a handful of teams that would send a third rounder for Trey Lance. Yes. Like, if Trey Lance were to go, it's like, just think about the quarterbacks that are drafted in the third round. Like, he's
sure about that?
No way.
Yes.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
I mean, this is
when
a guy,
I think about the quarterback drafted in the third round, they don't have 3 years of failure to their name.
Yeah. They don't get beat out
but
by
I think that teams
the
can,
seventh round draft pick in one season and then a failure of Sam Darnold in the next.
I think that there are plenty of offensive guys out there that can convince themselves that they can fix Trey Lance.
Oh, I agree with that. Just not the third round part.
No, I think
that makes that would be shocking.
Day two capital. No one's given up day two capital for a quarterback who's failed 3 years
just
in a row.
Just give it up,
well,
Mike.
He's failed two seasons in a row, three off seasons in a row.
What in the world is happening?
I'm not the point. I'm not trying to support Trey Lance right now. I'm just saying what the quarterback market is for a player with his physical skill set, and then you have up to three more years left on his rookie deal, I think that a team could be interested. But will the 49ers be willing to let him go for a third? I don't know.
They would slam the yes button as quick as humanly possible.
Maybe. That team has quarterbacks go down all the time. Like, they missed the Super Bowl because all their quarterbacks were hurt.
Trey Lance is maybe the worst trade in the history of the organization.
Of the NFL.
Yeah, that's one of – it's the worst. It's got to be the worst of the team.
Is it Herschel Walker? Is that the one?
Yeah, that was the entire draft class for Herschel Walker.
At least that trade had temporary value on both sides.
Well, there was – yeah, it happened for Walker, and then it also happened for
– Ricky Williams.
Ricky Williams.
Yes, but then Herschel Walker did play football.
Yes.
And Ricky Williams played good football.
Right. Trey Lance did not.
Five starts.
It's incredible that the 49ers are as good as they are, having made that move.
Yeah.
This is an overt omission or admission of a mistake. There is no more sugarcoating the Trey Lance development. He hasn't developed. He has not become the quarterback that they want.
The most fun part about this, that it for our show and for Mike's lasting love of Trey Lance, is that before the NFL draft, prior to that draft happening and the San Francisco 49ers taking him number three, you freaking hated Trey Lance. Hated. You said he was the most inaccurate, inexperienced, worthless prospect, and if they take him over,
Justin Fields.
You were going to just die.
Yeah.
And then they did it. You stayed alive, and you said, well, since I'm alive, yeah, I am going to support Trey Lance because I must have been wrong. Me, Mike, right, I'm wrong. Kyle Shanahan knows what he's talking about. I believe in him.
Right.
You were right. You were right, my man.
It was the ultimate.
Stick to your guns.
It was the
you coward.
The ultimate draft a player that you don't believe in because someone else does.
Does this mean?
It's Kyle Shanahan. It was the third overall pick.
It's Kyle Shanahan.
Kyle Shanahan owes
me. I fell for this with Sean McVay and Allen Robinson last year. Are there no genius coaches? I mean, we were talking about Brandon Staley as a genius coach. Now, Brandon Staley's hot. Viewed as
he got hot pants on.
A hot mess of a coach. Basically a great roster with hot pants on because he's ready to leave town. I mean, they have turned on him.
I still think he's a good coach. But you genius are, coaches, Andy Reid is a genius coach.
But even Andy Reid got ran out of town.
That's true. That's true. Trey Lance is not going to be a great dynasty player for you. I'm speaking to everyone out there.
Yeah. We do so many shows. We talk so much football. I don't know if I'd mentioned this. But we were at some point talking about Trey Lance. Like, what do you do? If you're in a single quarterback league in dynasty, what do you do with Trey Lance? And I was a bit hyperbolically saying, I think you just drop it. Like, because if I drop Trey Lance right now, or let's go 2 days ago, 2 days ago when he wasn't the third string quarterback, I drop Trey Lance. Half the league sees that and goes and does a big fab drop trying to get Trey Lance because just in case. Mm-hmm. And then they hold Trey Lance for eternity waiting for something to happen while I'm like, well, I'm living fancy free with my extra roster spot.
You know, well, 2 days ago, you should have just asked for like a third rounder. Anyone want to give me a third rounder? They won't do that in fantasy. You think someone's doing this in real life for a third rounder?
And to be clear, there are a ton of top 10 quarterback picks that don't get,
of course,
that don't get traded for or given an opportunity ever again. I was just looking. Jake Locker was the eighth overall pick in the draft.
Well, he retired.
Well, he was not given another. They didn't trade for him, right?
No, Jake Locker had the
Blaine Gabbert
had the concussion problem.
Did he get to start again? No.
Did he?
Blake Bortles never got to start again after he was running out of town.
Right.
Mariota got it last year. Trubisky got a split second in Pittsburgh. I guess Josh Rosen never got another chance.
Well, he got like 700 more chances to be a backup.
Rosen is the closest comp to me because all those other guys had time. Like, Lance has started 5 games or so.
And he will finish his career.
And he will probably finish with 5 starts.
Yeah, I mean, it's like that one's hard too because it's like saying, well, you just got to let him start games if he stinks.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, isn't that what you're saying?
No.
That a guy that isn't good has to start some games?
I think he's more saying that we don't know what we don't know. And so people
I wish Josh Rosen had started none.
Yeah, people can make a bad decision of thinking they could fix him.
I'm saying last year it was he had the 2 starts. One was in a monsoon, and then he got hurt. And then you don't start him over Brock Purdy, who came in and played extremely well.
They're just not saying this in the building.
I mean,
I'm not saying that Trey Lance could be successful in a different offense. He's clearly not built for the 49ers offense. I think that's the headline. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, very successful, very accurate quarterback.
Right.
Sam Darnold can handle that. Obviously, Brock Purdy can handle that.
I wonder.
Trey Lance is just not built for – the accuracy was a problem coming into the NFL.
We know I believe this is common knowledge that they said that they were between Mac Jones and Trey Lance during that.
Would have been such a better pick.
Mac Jones would be,
yeah.
I think he'd be a star right now if he ended up going to Kyle Shanahan's
100%,
system.
100%. Miles Sanders, there's some other quick injury news. Miles Sanders absolutely ready for Week 1. That's great. More Panthers news, not so great. DJ Chark, hamstring injury.
Yeah.
Didn't practice. So I'm going to stop talking about players. Chris Evans could serve as the team's preferred passing down back. This is an Athletic report.
It seems to be trending that way. The Travion Williams, I think, was kind of the de facto number 2. The team has had praised him for his pass blocking and things like that. But he got hurt, and now he's missed most of training camp. And
do you
Chris
care?
Evans.
Do you care about Chris Evans in drafts?
Probably not in redraft, but right. Unless we get like a for sure Chris Evans is locked in as the number two guy, but I don't think the team will even say that.
I don't even think they know. I don't, you know what I mean? Right. Like they might have who's up next, but I don't think that they will have someone that they think is locked in for the season.
Yeah. This is why drafting insurance running backs is can be a fool's errand of, well, Chris Evans is the number two right now. Sweet. I'm going to stash Chris Evans. And then if Joe Mixon misses time, all of a sudden it's just like Chris Evans isn't even the guy to have. It ends up being
And that's
Chase.
Because of being the number two right now to Mixon represents being a pass catcher. Whereas if Mixon goes down, they're looking for something else to fill that role.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Jerome Ford should be ready for week one for the Browns. They're okay. Hopeful that he'll be ready. He's another guy that he's going to fill in the gaps of what Nick Chubb can't handle or when he needs a break. TJ Hockenson.
Yeah.
Missed practice due to lower back stiffness, which as far as I know, is not a kind of a follow-up side effect to an ear infection.
No, this is unrelated.
Not
he had
a doctor.
The ear. He had the ear infection that was causing equilibrium problems, kept him out of a lot of the time with the team, got back, and now he's dealing with lower back stiffness. So he's just missed quite a bit of time. I don't think it's a huge deal. I mean, obviously, we saw when he came over and had no time with this team last year. They were just, you're out there, here's playbook, we're going to throw it to you a ton. And I expect him to still be out there, but it's good opportunity to get targets going elsewhere to like Jordan Addison, who's back.
Like Jordan Addison.
And Jordan
Jordan Addison.
Mr. Addison. Mm-hmm. Mr. Addison. No?
Boston.
Okay. All right. I just had to try on a good matrix.
You sure that TJ Hockenson's earache and backache aren't like kind of contract aches?
I do not believe they are.
Because there were some rumors about that, and this is his last year. He's on a contract season.
I'm sure he'll already there for Hockenson?
I'm sure he'll get a big contract. He's not a running back. Cole Kmet got a big contract.
A lot of these tight ends leave, though. Dalton Schultz didn't get a big contract. Trey Burton didn't get a big contract.
Yeah, I don't know. He's going to make a lot of money, though.
He'll get a massive contract.
From the Vikings, though? I'm saying...
Oh, you're just saying, will the Vikings pay? I do think they will, because when teams invest the draft capital in a trade, they usually want to retain that player. But we'll see. TBD.
Corey Davis stepping away from football at the age of 28.
Mm.
He left $10.5 million on the table for 2023, Whew. Although he might have been cut and chose this as a different option. Quiz, how much money has Corey Davis made in his career? Because I have that answer for you.
So Corey Davis was a top 10 pick.
Yep.
In the NFL draft.
Number five overall.
So you just right there, you make a really good amount of money on your first contract. The Jets, if I recall, when he got the deal from them, we were like, what? But it was the Jets tax because at the time they were a bad team. So total, I'm going to go 30 mil?
Ooh, I'm going north of that. I'm going...
You're going 50?
I'm going...
55?
$52 million.
Oh!
52.
I hope it's not Price is Right
yeah,
rules.
Yeah, no, it always is. And you've lost.
So I lost.
Any other news, gentlemen? And like Mike said, we're recording this late afternoon on Wednesday. We're getting ready to get out of town for the live show on Saturday. So any news we miss here, we'll cover it on the show tomorrow, or that we record tomorrow. All right, that was today's News and Notes presented by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance. Quick break and back with the mailbag. All righty, Mike, are you primed and ready? I mean, I know the hair's looking ready.
It's coiffed.
Only Mike can do that.
Is that a word?
I think so. Okay. I tried it out.
Jason, try to spell that word for us.
Q-U-A-F-T is how I spelt it.
Ooh, I would have gone F-F-E-D.
Okay. I think that's different.
A large, wild, untamed amount of
hair. Oh, well, it is certainly tamed.
Also, Q-U-A-F-T.
Oh, you got it right?
Yeah,
nice.
I'm the greatest speller alive.
You're a hero. All right, Mike, here we go.
Mailbag.
Mailbag. Oh.
You people better be ready for the mailbag on Saturday's live show, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Seriously, there's going to be 1,000 people.
Yeah.
You all are going to be doing the mailbag drop live, singing it out, so prepare your vocal cords.
All right, Instagram question from Tim Brody. By the way, if you have a question for the show, go to the website, thefantasyfootballers.com, or dial a voicemail hotline here, 302-464-TFFB. Do you believe in Jerry Jeudy? This question comes in from Tim Brody, 12-12-12. Yeah. Unequivocally, yes.
It's a loaded question.
I 100% believe in Jerry Jeudy.
Okay.
I don't know if he believes in me.
I think I believe in Jerry Jeudy, but I'm not 100% sure that's just me not believing in Courtland Sutton. And so it's just pushing me to want to believe in Jerry Jeudy. He was, at the end of last year, was the best wide receiver for the Denver Broncos. Had himself a fine few-game stretch over there for fantasy. Courtland Sutton is the one making some headlines over in training camp. I haven't seen a ton on Jerry Jeudy. The opportunity is great. Sean Payton, can he fix Russell Wilson in the offense? I would say my belief in Jerry Jeudy is sub 50%.
I definitely believe in Jerry Jeudy. I've seen him. Like
I know he exists.
You know,
so this isn't like, do you believe in Bigfoot
or dinosaurs?
Oh yeah. Well, you got to make these questions more specific because I definitely believe in him.
Once again contributing to the podcast.
I think he is a fine wide receiver too. I believe he'll finish probably around that number. He was the wide receiver 21 last season. The offense can't be worse. And I know sometimes we say that it couldn't be worse than what Big Ben was at the end of his career. But even then it was like, no, it could be. A rookie Kenny Pickett could be worse, and we could see that. The worst case scenario is that Russell Wilson sucks. Like, he sucked last year and he's just lost it. He's toast. He's gone. He's done. And in that situation where he still sucks, the offense goes from Nathaniel Hackett to Sean Payton. And I think it gets better with the same sucky Russell Wilson. Does that make sense?
It does. You said suck a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they did.
So what's your percentage belief in Jerry Jeudy? Not the human who you are convinced exists.
I am fully convinced.
Okay, but his chances for fantasy football.
I think it's 65% that he's a wide receiver 2 or better.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's going to be great. And to be clear, Courtland Sutton does not have to, as you would say, suck for Jerry Jeudy to be great. That is not; those things don't have to happen.
Sure.
Together, like Jerry Jeudy can be great, and Courtland Sutton can bounce back if you believe in him. I watched enough Jerry Jeudy. That's what I thought you were saying, by the way. I thought you were saying you watched him. You saw him.
Yeah, I did.
And then you, but as
fully
a
convinced.
We're saying the same thing.
I'm fully convinced
that he exists.
That he is real.
Now have you been to a game with him?
I haven't seen him in person. So
yeah, it could be 99%, CGI. Yeah. He was good last year. As good as you could be in what that offense provided. He is a big play guy. We saw Courtland Sutton struggle immensely. I don't buy the hype on Courtland Sutton. I think there's a chance he's better because you can't be worse. But I don't have any reason to believe that Jerry Jeudy, who was great on the field, doesn't benefit from all those things that you're saying, but somehow Courtland Sutton's going to stifle him when Sutton wasn't good on the field. So I think Jerry Judy's going to be a great pick. Now, right now, he's going at 507 on Sleeper.
No, thank you.
But 401 on ESPN.
Oh,
no.
Even worse.
What is that? Where does that put him in the range of?
If he's in the fifth, that's the Tyler Lockett zone or the Darren Waller zone for me.
So Jerry Jeudy right now is being drafted on Sleeper as the wide receiver 23. The guys around him, you got DJ Moore and Terry McLaurin just ahead of him, and just behind him, you have Drake London and Christian Watson. Would you rather take the shot on the sophomore wide receiver breakouts?
I would, yes.
No way.
I think I see it kind of how ADP is. I would rather have DJ Moore and Terry McLaurin ahead. And I think Jerry Jeudy, it's fine to take him above Drake London and Christian Watson.
I agree that all five of those guys are about in the same odds of having a good season.
Just
take your favorite. Yeah, I don't think he's mispriced. So it kind of depends on whether you believe Russ has got a shot. at least Russ has done, like you're betting on Desmond Ridder, right, with Drake London
mm-hmm.
and,
sure.
and no passing offense.
Mm-hmm.
Betting on Howell.
Howell.
What are the other quarterbacks in the mix for that group? It sounds like a bunch of guys were
Jordan
like,
Love.
Jordan Love. So Russ fits right in.
Well, you're betting.
But with better upside.
Yeah, well, you have a little bit of a mystery box for
Russ throws a great deep ball, too. Historically. I'm not yeah. talking about last yeah. year, but like even last year, Jerry Jeudy had good games on a team that could not score.
Yeah.
And Tim Patrick's gone. Consolidation yeah. of targets lets both of those guys potentially be.
To be fair, Tim Patrick was also gone last year.
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah. Well, where was Sutton
poor,
then?
Poor Fireball.
Poor Fireball.
Yeah.
Maybe we should not have called him that. I don't remember him having any injuries before we called him that.
No. He was good before we.
Then when he was Tim Patrick.
We're like, he's good. He's like, he's a fireball. And then got too hot.
Mm, tried to run too fast. Tried to live up to the nickname.
Yeah.
That was probably.
Is that
it.
What happened to Smash yeah. Jackson?
Yep.
Oh, no.
We got to stop giving good nicknames.
That's why Cameron will be fine.
Yeah. Cameron's going to have a great year. Cameron?
By the way, the amount of crap we gave the name Cameron on that show, we had the Camerons coming out of the woodwork. On the YouTube and on the Twitter.
I ain't scared of no Cameron. Bring it on.
Oh, no. There were some Camerons at the live show waiting for you.
Yeah.
The biggest Camerons you ever did see. All right, strategy question from Twitter. Do you have any advice about drafting at the turn? So it would be like the first pick in the draft. If you go wide receiver at the one overall, what are your favorite targets at the 2-3 turn?
We did our last draft, mock draft, was Jason was at the first. And mm-hmm. So, Jay, you went Christian McCaffrey, which were McCaffrey, Jamar, Jefferson, whoever you want to take 101, no qualms there. And then I don't remember who you got with your second pick. Do you recall?
Oh, no, of course not. I have no okay, idea what happened
Sorry.
In that draft. But if you're looking at the 2-3 turn.
It's like Devonta Smith, T. Higgins range?
Yep, exactly. That's going to be – you can take a shot on
– one of the onesies?
One of the onesies like Jalen Hurts
yep.
or Mark Andrews, if you want to take him a little bit ahead of ADP. The players that I find that I like there a lot that get their – pretty often. I actually think I remember Tony Pollard got there.
Yeah, he got real close.
He's usually there. Now, in a sharper league, yeah. Tony Pollard will go higher. But in a normal home league, Tony Pollard will be at the 2-3 turn. That is definitely going to be one of my targets. And, it's tough because I like some of the running backs there. And that might be why you decide, if you want to talk strategy, you say, look, I really like Ramondre Stevenson. I really like Tony Pollard. And I want to grab, like, those two guys. But I don't want to have my wide receiver come all the way at the 4-5 turn, which is a long ways from there. So you start with Justin Jefferson. So you just got to play it out both ways. Would you rather have a Justin Jefferson with those two type of running backs or Christian McCaffrey and then a T. Higgins style as your first wide receiver?
If I started McCaffrey, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave.
Well, yeah, what would happen?
I would log out.
Just would, forget the rest of the
yeah,
draft?
I'd be like, see you, suckers. I'm all done.
I just heard from somebody on Twitter that accidentally drafted Mike Evans in the first round.
Yes, I saw
did
that.
Did you see that?
I did. They no, this no. is wonderful.
Oh, no.
Go ahead.
It's wonderful. They basically queued him up, right, to target
They were trying
him.
To have a target list.
Yeah, which makes sense. And
you're
then,
starting it way too early.
Well, no. But,
oh, no.
But then in the platform he was in, I don't remember what platform it was, he couldn't.
He got mayhemed.
Yes. He couldn't figure out how to draft. So he's on the clock trying to figure out how to select the player he wants.
No.
And because he had Mike Evans queued, it didn't go with like the normal auto draft of like highest ADP. And instead, he got Mike Evans at the first. So
how do you not frantically shoot messages? I can't figure out how to do the draft. Please pause the draft.
Or just take Mike Evans off the list. If you can figure out how to do that, then you get a better player.
Well, I hope that works out.
That was his response to me saying, draft Mike Evans. And I was like, that's not what I meant. Not above everybody. everywhere. All right. This question from Rick McBee says, what is your favorite part about working together as friends? Lunchtime has to be cool beans.
Lunchtime is awesome. Lunchtime is...
The discussions at lunch are eye-opening. I mean, we learn so much about the world, about humanity.
We have scrubbed those tapes. Those tapes are not anywhere to be found.
Every single day, there is one topic that comes to the table absolutely from nowhere. Oftentimes. But it's like you could never plan it. We don't come to lunch thinking, oh, I'm going to talk about Atlantic tuna. I don't know. But every single day, something comes up.
We invented a new laundry machine at lunch.
We did that once.
So many things.
But yeah, we patent most of our lunches.
The best thing about working here is you don't feel like you're working. I had a... when my buddy was here, he stopped in, he watched a show, and then we were talking about just the work environment. And he's like, dude, that seems like the absolute best place you could possibly work.
This is just the environment.
Yeah.
This is not the work environment.
Yeah. We just
go to the environment.
Yeah.
That's
you're on fire today.
Yeah,
I know it.
Jason's on show 5 or 6 in the last 2 days.
Yeah.
And we just updated.
I'm crushing
we them. Also updated 5 videos, Al, in the Ultimate Draft Kit, right?
We did.
Ramondre.
Brees, Javonte, Darren Waller, Treylon Burks.
Okay.
There you go.
What about Trey Lance? Do we need a new Trey Lance video?
Yeah, I'll make a video.
It looks like we do not need one.
We should have a Trey Lance video in there for the rest of the
career.
Yeah, just static.
It's just
the video's just static.
It's just a storm with sad music.
He got paid money though, right?
He did.
I mean, he could have been drafted where he should have gone and not got paid money.
That's true. He made a good deal on his rookie contract.
He will get a Mariota like backup opportunity somewhere.
Yeah.
We'll see him. I bet we see him start a game again.
But because
not
of
on
injury
purpose. Not on purpose.
To a starter.
Yeah. Like a whoops. He's starting.
Yeah. And then they're gonna hype it up like he's had years to perfect his craft. He's going to come in and suck.
You know, it's the problem is, and I feel like at this point we've been too mean.
Yeah, we have.
He's better than most people on the entire planet. It's just that there is a gap between better than most and then a starting quarterback. And it's just crazy how hard it is to be a starting quarterback.
And if he would have just been the 3rd overall pick with the trade, and the trade did not happen, it would not feel this bad. Like,
he's made $25 million.
Like, I realize that he's the 3rd string, so it's not apples to apples here. But Zach Wilson, the pick right before him, got benched.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the bench right now.
Both of those picks are not good.
No. So, contract situation.
Was Fields 4 or 5?
He was like 11.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not the 11th quarterback, but he was...
He was in the double-digit rounds.
He was?
Yeah.
I thought he was like 6 or 7.
It's
just because that's how we project. He's 11th.
Yeah, that's right. The Fields Hive remembers.
Well, I mean,
we wrote that down.
Because when we projected that draft, we projected Justin Fields somewhere between 2 and 4.
Yeah, because that's where he should have gone. And that's what we all knew.
Except for how it looked for the beginning of the entire process, in which case he looked like the bust as well.
Yeah, Trey Lance... next year would be basically $11 million of dead cap money. So not sure that they'll just cut him. He'll probably just ride out the contract.
The truth is that the 3rd string quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers has had opportunities relentlessly.
Yep. All right, enough Lance. I can't
handle
it.
Could,
next question.
Maybe they'll bring him in as a tailback.
Yeah. Oh.
Like that first play.
Go to... who was our quarterback that moved over to tight end? He plays for Washington.
Logan Thomas.
It can happen, Trey.
I think 0.1% of people even know that Logan Thomas was the 3rd string quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
And he had a rocket for an arm.
Yes, he did.
He didn't know where to aim it, but he could throw it.
I don't think he knew how to aim it. He knew where he wanted to aim it.
He basically stepped back to pass, spun in a circle, and just threw it really hard.
And it went 90 yards.
Wow, haven't seen one of these in a while. This one comes. Oh, now I see all of our doc changing to questions from X, the other platform. Ryan Sheets says, touchdown only league. Would you draft Derrick Henry, Saquon, or Bijan? Give me Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I'd go Derrick Henry.
I'm fine with that.
This question comes from Instagram, AmyRose26. If you name a team based on a player, do you keep the team name if you drop or trade that player? Examples.
Great question.
Let me give you these three examples.
Very important.
Bed, Bath, and Bijan.
Nice.
Ooh,
good name.
I like that.
Zay my name.
Okay.
Okay.
Or I'm sorry, Smith Jackson. Like, if you name them, those are good names because they're fun. Like, Bed, Bath, and Bijan.
Yeah.
You're probably good because you ain't trading Bijan, probably.
Those are great. But the rules are very, very clear.
Okay.
Soup's clear.
The moment that player leaves your roster, you have to have a new team name.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the danger of having the hilarious player pun name.
Yeah.
It's a sharp blade.
Yeah.
Because you get people with the giggles, but then you look the fool should you move on from that player.
You better have a backup for one of your other players on the team.
Yeah. Or when you're having the trade, can you trade the rights to the to the name?
You can absolutely
for
trade.
For an extra asset?
I would trade you Bijan discussion? Robinson and the
name. Bed, Bath, and Bijan?
Bed, Bath, and Bijan. You can have it. I'll change. But I want an extra one.
Isn't that store bankrupt now?
Yeah, they filed, so.
Yeah, they probably don't want that name. You can't have any bad juju on your fantasy team.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
Best Ball Breakdown, presented by Underdog Fantasy.
Welcome to the final Best Ball Breakdown, presented by Underdog Fantasy. This whole offseason, which means we're ending the offseason. We're getting ready for the real season. We have been spending time in Best Ball strategy, concepts, ideas, favorite picks, all of that stuff. So why not take this final Best Ball Breakdown segment and learn a little bit from the Best Ball Baron himself.
Oh, the Best Ball Baron. New nickname. Got it.
That's not bad.
You can trade the rights for that, too, if you want. The Best Ball Baron, Jason Moore, who has drafted more best ball teams than anybody in this entire office. We want to know, right here, right now, as you head into the season, who are your most commonly rostered players, and why are they Corey Davis?
Yeah, my least favorite exposure rate is definitely Corey Davis. I have him in 15.6% of my leagues, which is a pretty high number.
Did he just become a habitual final pick?
He was one of the, depending on my builds, if I was looking for a wide receiver at the very end, especially earlier in the offseason. I haven't drafted him as much lately, but earlier in the offseason, it seemed like I was drafting him thinking he would be playing on a new team. He would get a new home,
gotcha.
That he would either be cut or traded, and that his value would go up from being a dead last round pick.
I will say, when I went to my X timeline, I had no idea that the Best Ball Bros were so into Corey Davis. Because when Jason hit me with the 15%, it's like, what are you doing? And then I go on Twitter and everyone's like, oh, crap, all my Corey Davis exposure. And everyone's like in the double digits. What are we doing here?
The thing is
it's Corey Davis,
but he's been very relevant. He's not been a superstar, but he's put up plenty of stats. If he just did what he's done lately and he's gotten a quarterback upgrade, he would have been paying off great.
Yeah, but he has Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb on the team now.
Sure, but he
Hartman and Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, but he retired. So so 15% of my leagues just got wide receiver fewer.
So you're one pick, you burned off a pick.
Tell us some that you're more proud of.
All right. One of the guys we've loved all offseason, he is always outproducing his ADP, and his ADP is worse than it's ever been. He is Mike's my guy. He's my number one most exposed player, Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, baby.
He will refuse to be drafted where he should, and so you'll get him at a value. Other players that
it's his greatest gift to the fantasy football community, is that those who remain on Team Lockett, We just keep getting rewarded.
He's very Frank Gore-esque from days gone by. So what percentage was Lockett?
Lockett's 31%.
Ooh,
He's in a third
baby.
Line.
All was, in.
I told you guys earlier, I had to make a rule eventually that I was not allowed to draft Tyler Lockett because I was like, I can't not get him. Every time I'm looking at where he's at and the players around
him.
Is that
your highest?
Oh, he's by far
Which
my highest.
Kyle shot us a note. For those who are new to best ball and things like that, what first off, what exposure we're talking about? The
Al said it was 97% exposure until you made the rule.
The, the exposure is like the percent of teams that you have drafted that player, and anything over the 20 percentile mark is
confidence.
Is like you have a lot.
You're part of the fan club
a lot. Yeah.
What's your next highest?
My next highest, I've got James Conner at 24%.
Okay, so bullish.
Where he's going, Austin Eckler is at 20%. At quarterback is I'm all over the place. The only quarterback that I've got like a significantly higher amount because I've taken them all is actually Matthew Stafford. Wherever I had Cooper Kupp.
That will certainly not go wrong.
Matthew Stafford. Well, it's just to complete the stack, and he was cheap.
Gotcha.
And oftentimes, he's a third quarterback in certain
Matthew
builds.
Stafford actually just retired.
I wouldn't doubt it. And then at tight end, my highest drafted tight ends.
Mark Andrews.
Mark Andrews is at 20%. Certainly, I have, you know, look, we make rules. If he's there in the middle of the third round, he's on my team. Tyler Higbee been one of my absolute favorites to stack with Stafford and Tyler Conklin. I've got quite a bit of him and Gerald Everett. All of those guys are up there.
Oh, some nasty boys.
Yeah,
good.
Team. I'm a three tight end build late tight end drafter.
As the best ball baron.
As the best ball baron.
All right, that was best ball breakdown. Breaking down the best ball baron presented by Underdog Fantasy. Get your first deposit matched up to $100 by using the code BALLERS over on Underdog Fantasy. That is it for today's episode of the show.
Yeah, speaking of Underdog, they are presenting Ballers Live for the Megala Show, ballerslive.com.
Saturday, LA.
It's going to be incredible.
All three of us will be there.
We will. We will be there. Hopefully you're there. We'll see you on tomorrow's show. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.